Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
And I'm Susie Starlight, the Starlight Campbell Band.
Welcome to the Supertone Show. Johnny Kidd and the Pirates, Shaking All Over.
Indeed.
Quivers down the backbone. That took a couple of seconds, you two.
I know, I was just thinking about it, actually, because they wrote that line because they used to kind of say quivers down the membranes or something when they saw a hot woman.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. So it was kind of one of their phrases that they had. But what gets me about Johnny Kidd and the Pirates is that before they were called that, they were actually called Freddie Heath and the Nutters.
Which didn't sound quite as dangerous, did it?
No. And I know that he had like a patch on, didn't he, in a cutlass or something like that. The Pirates, like a bit probably, though, the first version of Adamant on stage, really, giving it some high kick legs and all that kind of stuff.
Well, a lot of people say that that track was probably the seminal rock and roll sort of, it was the only one that really cut through and sounded really edgy, and it was like competing with the American stuff.
You're right. I digress from the importance of this track.
Indeed, Mick Green, the guitar player, absolutely renowned as he's a great player, and he really had a fantastic sound, and he drove that track. And interestingly enough, about that, I think Johnny Kidd actually wrote it, which was unusual in those days.
In
the fact that they, you know, people used to play, you know, other people's songs, didn't they, really?
That's true. And also, another thing that's so important, and actually, I know I started off kind of whimsically there, but this track is really kind of quite important. And also, when Roger Daltrey from The Who saw them play, he actually got inspired to put his guitar down and focus on the vocals after he saw them perform. So, isn't it funny? You never know. You never know. And when it's happening, and let's not think, okay, we can think retrospectively, but every moment, every time you see a seven-year-old or there's something that's going on, you never know how it's going to change something.
Yeah, well, I mean, Mick Green, just going back to the guitar player again, he inspired Wilco Johnson and Pete Townsend, you know?
It was that early. Nora.
Yeah, it's that early. You know, I think it was a really important record.
I really like it too. I think it's still incredibly relevant right now.
Very relevant. Shaking All Over. Mm-hmm.
Booker T and the MGs, and a track called Time Is Tight. It is indeed tight.
Of course it is. A very tight sounding band, of course.
A soundtrack from the film in 1968 called Uptight.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Right. Steve Cropper on guitar, of course. The Colonel.
Who is Steve Cropper?
Well, very talented. The thing is...
It's a great name, by the way.
Yeah. In that studio, I mean, he
I
really...
imagine him with a pair of scissors and just tidying people up.
Well... Sorry. In that studio, it was all stacks and it was all doing that amazing stuff.
And there's Louis Steinberg on bass, and Al Jackson Jr. on drums. And you've got Booker T. Jones on the organ and piano. And they played on hundreds, literally hundreds of recordings, like for Wilson Pickett, Otis Redding, Bill Withers, Albert King. It's like, what's going on?
Well, most importantly, most of them played in the Blues Brothers film.
That's true.
Which is, a seminal rock and roll film, and
I love
great.
That film.
Yeah, it's still a great film. Still works for me.
It's really weird as well, because I'm not Catholic, but I went to a convent for my primary education. When that's like 4 till 11. And it was so funny when the nuns are in there, because it's like there's the fear that you see with the boys. And I remember kind of going, oh, my God. I'm in trouble. That one day when I threw, I had a rubber and I was throwing it to my friend just to wind her up, and I misthrew this rubber and it bounced off the head of Sister Cuthbert.
No.
And she was like the most badass nun in the whole convent. Ooh. And I was like, I got lines and I'm such a good girl. And I was just, I died in myself. Like, I can't swear, by the way, but I was like, no. You know when you just go, no.
Like Jake and Elwood.
Yes, exactly.
When they sat
there
at that.
So I knew when that shit was going down with Jake and Elwood. I'd been there when that habit is like Darth Vader's outfit. It instills fear in children.
Of course.
And I must say, as a balanced argument here, or a balanced experience, I also had another nun who was like Julie Andrews from The Sound of Music. When I was 7, Sister Teresa, and she was just really cool. You know, she's the sort of person you want to hang back after class for and like polish windows and water plants for and just kind of be around, because she was just so amazingly beautiful.
I'm back now to Booker T and the MGs.
Oh, sorry, I've gone.
Oh, that's all good. Great, but a great track.
But isn't music evocative of life? Doesn't it tell you stories? Doesn't it evoke pictures and feelings?
Yeah, well, that's why, we go on this little journey,
Yeah.
Because it just reminds you of stuff, and that's what music's all about for us. You're listening to the Supertones Show. It's Susie Starlight and Simon Campbell and the Starlight Campbell Band.
And next, we've got some Reverend Al Green.
Dedicate this song to little Junior Parker, a cousin of mine that's gone on, but we'd like to kind of carry on in his name by saying, I don't know why I love you like I do, after all the changes that you put me through, used all my money in my cigarettes. Down.
Take Me to the River by Al Green, originally written for the album Al Green Explores Your Mind, another unusual track, an album title. Before it was Al Green is next to you or something, and now he's exploring your mind.
Well,
he's going for it, that man.
Well, he certainly is. But of course, the Reverend Al Green, that's probably thought he was entitled to do, Explore Your Mind. Very groovy, you know. Great horn sound on that. I love it, you know. And later on, we have a different version of this very track.
Yeah, yeah. We decided we're gonna play this. There have been different covers of this song.
Yeah, and we're going to do another one later on. So you might be thinking, guessing while we're on the next track.
Yeah, but this was actually written by Al Green and a guitarist called Mabon Teeny Hodges, or Mabon.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, a classic, and it's probably made him a whole load of money.
I know, and I think you're right there. And I also, what it reminds me of that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, there's kind of...
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you, the visual imagery I have with this song is that when I went to Wisconsin back in like 2000, when my mate Jill, Geezy Hare, who lives out there, she had, you know, have you ever seen one of those singing fish that, you know,
yes,
like the fishermen that,
yeah,
that
catch?
That's
right. Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
This was like the big phenomenon at the time. And it was on a wooden plaque and
on
it was
the
hung
wall.
On the wall. Yeah, she pressed the button and went, whoo, hoo, 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 hoo. And then suddenly, look, me in the eyes went, don't worry, be happy. This fish, this singing fish.
We saw it on Lemmy. Remember that, the Lemmy?
He had exactly the same
the
one.
The same one.
In that greasy kitchen of his where he cut up his potatoes and made chips.
That's right.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
How music can take you around the world in different kitchens and places.
And that reminds me as well, we should have some Motorhead on the show.
Lemmy!
Yeah.
Let's kick some bass ass.
Spend my money. Get out there playing your high class games of sorrow. Sorrow. You never do what you know you ought to. Something tells me you're the devil's daughter. Sorrow. Sorrow.
David Bowie and Sorrow, and believe it or not, recorded by most of the musicians of the Spiders of Mars, i.e. Ronson, Trevor Boulder, Ainsley Dunbar, with the addition of Mike Garson, his long-term keyboard player, that remarkable guy, and produced by Ken Scott, who worked with the Beatles. So Mickey there you are.
Nora.
Yeah.
And that all happened then in 1973, because it was recorded in Chateau Hérouville in France.
Yeah.
A chateau.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it was very popular then, recording not particular in studios, you know.
Yeah,
cause,
yeah.
Because they
I like that, you know. Yeah. It's a bit like Focus when they travelled off to a chateau somewhere in France or somewhere, didn't they? And they
yeah.
People just hiring places and going and recording.
Yeah, with mobile studios and it's, you know.
Before the sanitisation.
Yeah. As Glyn Johns said, he said that the death of the music industry came with SSL
exactly,
desks
that.
And sound designers making control rooms yeah. And recording spaces, yeah.
Isn't it weird? Isn't it? I just find it fascinating. I'm a bit overwhelmed, actually, because I just think the way that everything's changing and is progressively changing all the time and regressively changing.
Yeah.
And just nothing ever really stays the same for far too long, does it, really?
Well, people now record in the bedrooms. It's kind of a, you know, but everybody can do it now, really. You know, you get a computer, microphone and keyboards and all the software and plugins and stuff in Pro Tools and Logic and all these things. Very, very easy now to create music at home. But, you know, I think to get it sounding like that, Sorrow, is pretty tricky, you know. You don't need a studio to do it, but you do need musicians who know what they're doing playing live.
Do you think sometimes it's about, like, there's cooking and then there's different types of cooking? It's a bit like music and there's different types of music, because I kind of think I prefer, no matter where we go and eat, because I don't cook, I always prefer home cooking. Isn't it funny? Well, and I was just thinking about music.
I'll take that as a compliment, Diane. Thank you.
It is a compliment. Just got me thinking about music, really. And this was actually David Bowie's first hit single in Australia.
No.
Yeah. And the B-side of the single was a song called Amsterdam, which is a cover of a Jacques Brel song. And you know how Bowie loves Jacques Brel.
Yeah.
And, Scott Walker.
Of course, Scott Walker.
Exactly.
That's right.
Thinking about the connection there.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Because we've been listening to a lot of Scott Walker recently. And it's incredible the influence that he had over Bowie and his voice, you know. When you listen to certain, you know, Bowie tracks, you think, wow, it's such an incredible influence. And Scott Walker has gone and ploughed his own path, a very odd and unusual and artistic path. But, you know, he has massive influence all over the place. You hear him everywhere.
Indeed. And the next song we're going to play for you is quite magnificent and quite beautiful.
With fortitude at last. from ice, the swirling flood, the shipyards of Belfast. Time has revealed how man can win, though nature would oppress. If they but breed a sturdy breeze and steadfast hearts possess. 'Twas not her boasted chivalry, dim idyll of the past, that dammed the flood and raised aloft the shipyards of Belfast. Excessive age, but how can man enrich the soil by worshipping the past? It was not thus how man produced the shipyards of Belfast.
Duke Special and Ulaid, I think that's the way you pronounce it. It's a traditional supergroup from Ireland. That's Donal O'Connor, John McSherry, Sean O'Graham. Incredible, absolutely beautiful song.
Mm. And live as well. Yeah. There's a bit of a gap and there's some applause after it, but we didn't put that in. But it's very captivating. His voice is very honest, isn't it?
Yeah. You know?
And that honesty and the honesty of the traditional instruments really shines through on it.
It was funny, actually, because I'm reading about this the way these guys got to work together. They bumped into each other in the pub, as usual. But I think it was one of the brothers, and they said, oh, you got to work together. And they kind of, and I think Duke was kind of thinking, these guys is just so amazing. And it can be intimidating when you play with folk artists, because a lot of the time they're really kind of superhuman instrumentalists, really out of this world, crazily beautifully, technically fantastic. And it's like, what do you do in that world? And he was saying that, you know, He grew up outside of the folk culture, but he remembers asking his mum and dad for a bodhram drum when he was like 12. But because he's primarily a songwriter and folk culture is about songwriting and telling stories, and he felt that the stories that he was writing in his songs were they were fitting together, and he kind of knew that there was a place where he could be at home.
Yeah.
And I like that, because that's how I feel with you and I. We're songwriters, and we write in different styles, and whether it's psychedelic or British blues or folk or Americana, and we kind of just find that the song tells us how it wants to sound.
That's right, yeah. And as a songwriter, and that's what we do, isn't it? We package it in the appropriate musical form, you know?
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about acoustic music, and I think that's what we've, certainly I've been finding, become principally an electric guitar player, and since I've been playing acoustic, you realise how pigging difficult it is. Because you've got nowhere to hide.
It's naked.
So totally naked. When you play an acoustic guitar, you can't get out of it by a little bit of woggling sustain or a little bit of, you know, it just goes donk and that's it, you know, and overplaying, you know, playing too hard. Andy Seward, who's a good friend of ours, who produced the last solo album that I did, The Knife, before getting together with my lovely Susie.
That's me.
Starlight, that's you.
See.
He went down to the shop and sent somebody out when he was producing the record and got a load of very light plectrums. And he said, use the lightest pick that you can.
I remember that.
Yeah, can you remember?
Yeah.
And since I started using those, all of a sudden my acoustic playing sounds a lot better because you can't dig in, you know? And because you can't dig in, you don't feel as though you need to, and you start to play everything a bit quieter and more subtle and softer. So there we are.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Old Andy. We love him.
To get ourselves
Woodstock by Matthew's Southern Comfort, which is a band formed by Ian Matthews from Scunthorpe, love. He was the singer in Fairport Convention. That went to number one in 1970 in the UK.
Well, I didn't know he was in the Fairport Convention, so there you are.
Do you know what? That song is really sad and quite beautiful and quite magnificent. It was written by Joni Mitchell. And her manager at the time said, don't bother going to Woodstock. It's more advantageous for you to appear on a TV show called the Dick Cavett Show or Cavett.
Blimey.
So Joni didn't go to Woodstock. She stayed back and went on a TV show. And it was only Graham Nash, her boyfriend at the time from Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, that told her about Woodstock. And she wrote this song about Woodstock, having not been there. Now, she was one of the biggest female performers, iconic of that era. And she wasn't there. Mm. But she wrote this beautiful song, which somebody else, I believe, for me, I prefer this version of it because it has a more mellow and a fuller soundscape. And I feel the 60s more with this song than with her version. But isn't that an incredible story?
What about Crosby, Stills, Nash version? Of course. Because they did it.
Of course, I remember that one as well. I'm totally, to me, I'm addicted to this version of it. I always have. I love it so much.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I mean, I do. And I like the fact it's British. Because, you know, talking about Woodstock, and there was a lot of, I mean, most of the headliners at that, you know, that big Woodstock were British.
Alvin Lee.
10 years after, yeah. The Who, you know. And it was great because it's British. It doesn't sound British. It sounds very American, but
that's true. Actually,
it really has something. And it again is if it's a time and it's if it's an era, and it's a great version of it. And because I hadn't really listened to it an awful, I'd always listened to the Crosby, Stills, Nash version. And you know, and you introduced me to it. Really, thank you.
Oh, that's okay. You've introduced me to Lowe's too. But the other thing as well, have you noticed as well, you know, the music that we're into tells stories about real things and real, it documents the time. It's not, I love you, baby. I mean, there's, you know, I Believe in Miracles, Hot Chocolate, you know, and you've got these songs that are really kind of iconic, but they're actually, the lyrics and the content is actually, that is about something. Mm. And
that's
it is,
what really gets us, yeah. Isn't it, you know? And a lot of these tracks that we play and listen to are like that.
And so is the next person we're going to play for you. He's just slightly, amazingly prolific.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. Was the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, And don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times they are a-changing.
Do I really need to announce who that is? But Bob Dylan and the times they are changing is what it was.
1964. 1964. I wasn't born then.
Well, it's unbelievable lyrics. You know, that's what gets me about that song. And I just wonder whether he really, really was thinking about the lyrics and whether he was being truthful or whether he was saying what other people wanted him to say.
Hmm. I don't know with Bob Dylan. I really don't know what to think, because the one side you can't deny, and then you hear things like citations from his biographer Clinton Halin, who recounts like when Tony Glover stopped by Dylan's apartment like in '63, he picked up a page of this very song when he was working on it, and he read out loud, "Come, senators, congressmen, please heed the call." And he said to Dylan, "So what is this shit, man?" And Dylan just shrugged his shoulders and replied, well, you know, it seems to be what the people want to hear. And that's in a biography. And you kind of go, oh.
Which it destroys the image of it to me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to think that.
I don't
either.
I
want to think he really thought about this album. And I thought about the track and thought about what he was saying and how much influence it would have over generations, because it's still relevant right now with what happened a couple of weeks ago in America with that shooting, you know, and the young people rising up to take control of their own futures and lives. And, you know, and I want to believe in Dylan. I really, really do.
But also I think there's a common thread here, because that song was influenced by the Irish and Scottish ballads Come All Ye Bold Highwaymen and Come All Ye Tender-Hearted Maidens. And I think the legacy of that human condition is that we don't change as humans throughout it. We don't. And I think the reason why that's still relevant is because as human beings, as a society, and there are loads of different societies, we have a shared race, but actually there are loads of different worlds and different societies living on the same piece of spinning rock in the middle of the universe.
Absolutely.
Which is the middle, wherever we are in the whole context of wherever we are. But that's why that song's still relevant. It's because we don't move on.
Mm. Very interesting point. Thank you.
Gabriel Yared and a song called Humecteur la Monture, which apparently, when you put it in Google Translate, is Moisture the Mount. So I have no idea.
Blimey, that sounds a bit rude to me.
Fantastic song, though. That's from the film Betty Blue, one of my favourite films of all time.
Yeah, I know. We've watched it together.
It's an incredibly, incredible movie. And if you haven't seen Betty Blue, which is also called 37.2 degrees le matin, in the morning, which is the normal temperature of a pregnant woman in the morning, apparently, that's where it comes from. It's shocking, it's deep, it's passionate, it's love, it's addiction, it's life in all its forms. It feels incredibly vibrant and incredibly relevant, and it embraces extreme emotion of happiness, of sadness, of everything, and music.
It does evoke and friendship. It does evoke a lot of emotion. That's the thing. I think when you watch it, you go through a roller coaster, don't you? Really,
yes, you do.
Of stuff, and it takes you, and it's beautifully shot as well. You know,
it is, and that's one thing I really admire about French cinematography is the way they manage to capture the intimacy and the textures and the colours and the light.
Yeah.
It just, but it makes
light,
you live
that's
in...
that's one thing yes. that's really important because, you yes. know, when we were in Spain an awful lot, living in Spain, the light is something that really gets to you. You know, in Valencia, there was a beautiful light in a morning and, you know, and all the way through the day it changed, but it had that hue about it. And it's something that you can't describe unless you've lived there. Because going on holiday and stuff, you can get it, but
yeah,
it's not like
a quick
that.
Fix, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, but when you're there all the time, it really gets into your soul when you understand it, you know?
I think what it does is that it goes through your eyeballs and create serotonin.
yeah,
seriously,
possibly,
and you're scared. I think that's and everything looks different because everything's so much more lit. The light is stronger. It's more bright. But just going back to that song as well, I had the soundtrack. I watched Betty Blue years and years ago. My friend Julian. Who's an incredible influence to me in terms of introducing me to new music when I was growing up as a teenager. He lives just outside Ross and Wye, Julian Knight, and he told me about this film, and I watched it, and then I got the soundtrack. And what I love about this particular song is the way that I always used to dance around the room. As soon as it came on, it was like a jig time, you know. It was like a respite to life. So no matter what happens in life, put that track on. And it also reminds me a bit of a fairground as well. It has that fairground feel, doesn't it?
It's that sound, isn't it, of the, you know, of the organ or whatever.
Exactly.
It's like a very, very...
And
you imagine
fair.
Like one of those little mechanical monkeys on the top, can't you? You know what I mean? You know, banging a drum and stuff.
And you just shake your ass, basically. Yeah. And you just go around the room for 2 minutes and it's a great workout. And then you carry on with your life.
Great. Well, what a great choice.
Take me to the river. Drop
Another version of Take Me to the River, this time by Talking Heads. That's 1978. That was on their second album, More Songs About Buildings and Food. Very practical band.
That was produced by Brian Eno, the studio version, wasn't it?
That was, yeah, that particular version. Well, not this particular version, but the actual studio version on that album they recorded in the Bahamas, the Lucky Bananas.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, of course, that was from Stop Making Sense, which is a remarkable film. We talked about it last week. But it was directed by Jonathan Demme. And quite a few people have lauded it as like the best live rock documentary and film of all time.
Mm. What is it about that song, though, that has inspired people to cover it? It's connected in so many different ways. And at the time when Talking Heads released that song, Brian Ferry had released a version of it, Lee Von Helm, Foggart, and the Talking Heads. And David Byrne is cited as saying that, well, there's more money for Mr. Green's full gospel tabernacle church, I suppose. He says it's a song that just combines teenage lust with baptism. It not equates, you understand, but throws them in the same stew at least. A potent blend. All praise the mighty spurting Jesus.
Blimey. David Byrne. There's only David Byrne.
I was going to say. I really like that. That's why I wanted to cite him. Actually,
he's a lovely. He's such a great guy.
Do you know what? If I had a dinner party, I'd really like to invite him round, and I would actually probably drink water with a little bit of wine. I'm just joking. I'd like to really be quite cognizant with him. I'd like to chat to him about lots of different things.
Well, he's definitely one of my favourite rock and rollers.
He's a thinker.
Yeah,
he cares, and I like him.
Yeah, super cool. Super cool guy.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Ah, and now this is the penultimate track for the Supertone show this week, and we're going to finish with a fantastic track from a fantastic band, and this song was the B-side to Albatross, the single by Fleetwood Mac in most countries. It was the B-side, released as the B-side, this one.
You've been listening to the Supertone Show with Susie Starlight and Simon Campbell, the Starlight Campbell Band. You can catch us on Twitter, Susie and Simon. We release it again on Mixcloud and Spotify and iTunes. You can download it. So look forward to seeing you next week, and we'll leave you with the wonderful Peter Green.